take your Bibles, please. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll read verses 19 through 24 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke chapter 10, verses 19 through verse 24. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what our preacher has given us. Thank you for what happened here in this place today. All of our folks that were here and blessed and helped, folks that whose eternities were changed and their lives were changed. Father, please be with us this evening. Help our preacher, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I told you that tonight we would have the second part of this morning's sermon. This morning, I started a sermon called Walking on Scorpions. Walking on Scorpions. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, Behold, I give unto you a power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I told you this, my biggest enemy is me. You know, God has given me victory. God has given me the ability to rise above and to be whatever I need to be. You know, the only way that my attitude can be soiled is if I choose that it be soiled. And I don't want it to be. I'm not going to turn my attitude over to you. Now, let's make sure we give our attitudes to the Lord. Let's make sure that we let God control our attitudes, not other human beings. We're told here that we are given the power to walk on scorpions. I'm going to show you my scorpion again. He's been in here all day long, and he is all wound up right now. As you know, I told you this morning, there are about 1,300 different species or different kinds of scorpions. And that scorpion right there is usually found on the western part of the United States of America. They're poisonous. They're carnivores. They'll turn on themselves or their own kind, and scorpions will actually eat scorpions. If you get stung by a scorpion, there is swelling that will come, and numbness, frothing at the mouth, difficulty breathing, and your muscles will have spasms. You'll go into convulsions and possibly death if the poison gets to your heart due to heart failure. Now, the Apostle Paul was saying to us, as he writes here in Luke chapter 10, he's saying, you have been given the ability to walk above the scorpions. Now, I don't think he was talking about us going around walking on top of snakes and scorpions. I don't think that at all. But I think what he was telling us is there are a lot of tough things in life, like the scorpion. There are a lot of poisonous things that would poison our attitudes and poison our spirits in life. And God is saying, you have the availability of my power and my wisdom. You have available to you the ability to walk above those things. I use this terminology this morning. We somehow get under the circumstances. You've heard people say that before. They say, how are you doing? And you say, well, under the circumstances. Let me advise that you never get under the circumstances. Stay on top of the circumstances. You stay on top. And maybe that's what we're talking about. We can walk on top of the things that could get us down. We can walk above the things that are below our spiritual dignity. The poisonous things of life do not have to sting us. You should want to tread on scorpions. You ought to want to do it for your sake. You ought to want to get above those things that pull you down. You ought to do it for your husband's sake, or for your wife's sake, or for your children's sake. Do it for your church's sake. Do it for your God's sake. Oh my folks, the people out there in this world, let me tell you what they do. They don't walk on scorpions, they go get drunk. They don't walk on scorpions, they go out and get high. They go out and do wrong things. Everybody out there is looking for a way to deal with the scorpions of life. God told us you could tread on them. You can get above them. And I want you to learn how to stay on top side. I want you to learn how to rise above the circumstances of your life. And so, this morning, I started giving you some ways that you can rise above the difficulties of life. How can you keep your spirit up? How can you keep your attitude up? How can you keep the positive kind of an attitude that a Christian's supposed to have in a somewhat negative world? I told you this. I said this morning, don't spend time with negative people. The Bible says in Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. God is telling us that we're not to speak idle words. Idle words lead to negative words, and we just need to separate from negative people. Then, I said secondly, if you're forced to spend time with negative people, control the conversation as much as possible. Boy, you just take all sorts of positive things to converse about. If you turn conversation over to a negative person, they'll figure out a way to turn it negative. You need to decide you're going to talk about the Bible and prayers being answered and the good things of life and the wholesome things of life. We can't always get away from negative people, but we sure can interject positive things into the conversation. I said thirdly, you need to shield yourself from negative books and tapes and articles. I talked about letters today. Boy, if you get a nasty or negative letter, don't read it 100 times. If you get yourself, you find yourself reading through that thing and it's nasty and negative, just throw it in the trash. Don't go over it, over it, and over it, and over it. You just get yourself deeper and deeper into some depression, feeling the rejection of it. That's not going to do you any good. Number four, sing and listen to godly and good music. Psalm 40, verse 3, it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. You need to have the right kind of music. Right now, on Wednesday nights, I'm teaching a series on the subject of the family. And last Wednesday night, I talked about singing in the home. Now, I don't know this, but I think this. The next series that I'm going to teach on a Wednesday night is going to be about music. I think I'm going to teach you week after week after week what the Bible says about music. You know, God tells us what He wants of us. He makes it very clear. The Bible is a very thorough book, and we need good music. You get around the right kind of music, it will encourage you. It'll help you to walk on the scorpions of life. You can tread on those scorpions. You can be above them. You can rise above the danger or the poison that they could pump into your life. I said number five, look for people who have problems bigger than yours and then encourage them. Listen, everybody has problems, folks, but there is always somebody that has bigger problems than you do, and when you've got a problem, why don't you try the medicine of looking for somebody else that has a problem, and you go try to be an encouragement to them. Then, number six, I said, don't spend too much time talking about your problems. When we talk about our problems, we think about ourselves, and we're too self-centered. We spend way too much time on our pity party. parties, whining and feeling sorry for ourselves. Listen, if you say, well, you can't fix my problem, then stop talking about the problem. Why talk about something you can't fix anyway? And so if we talk about our problems all the time, it's going to get us down. If you want to tread on scorpions, if you want to walk on top of the poison of the scorpion, you've got to do it on purpose. You must train your mind and train your life not to live down underneath the rock with the scorpion, but get on top of that thing. I said number 7, don't share all your struggles with your family. Somehow we get this idea that every problem that a man has at work, he ought to go home and share it with his wife. She can't fix it. She wasn't created to carry the burdens that you carry. Once again, in America there used to be a manhood that sheltered the wife, that sheltered the kids. I'm not saying that you can't get some comfort from your wife. I'm just saying in this day and age, it seems like we have a lot of whining men, and that's all they do. They just pour it on the woman and pour it on. And then we wonder why she has a bad spirit. We wonder why she's sour. We wonder why she's bitter. We got whiny men going around whining to their wives all the time. Suck it up, buddy. Learn to be a leader in your home. Don't do that to your wife. And then, ladies, let me say, whatever you do, you don't have to tell your husband everything that didn't go right at home while you were at home during the day. He doesn't have to know. He doesn't have to know that one of the kids overfilled a diaper. That really is not going to make his day. You don't have to take every little negative thing that happens and share it with him. Somehow we say, well, I just want my family to know what's going on in life. Again, there used to be a maturity about parents where they protected their children and made their children feel safe and made their children feel like everything's going to be all right. Moms and dads ought to protect their kids and husbands ought to protect their wives, and we ought to protect one another's spirits. So I do think we should share in one another's problems. I do think we should comfort one another, but the continual spreading and talking about negatives in every little thing that went wrong, it'll ruin your spirit. You need to learn to tread on the serpents at home and with your family. I said this, number 8, be alert to serving people. One of the best things you can do for yourself to keep your spirit up is to make sure you invest yourself in serving others. Get your eyes off yourself. Find somebody. Serve them. Get on a bus route. Go out soul winning. Hey, straighten up your life enough so we could use you in a Sunday school class as a worker. Change the way you are. Change the entertainments or the way you dress or whatever it takes to be able to get some influence around the church and serve people. Let me go on, though. Tonight, the very first point of the evening is this. And this morning, the last one I gave you was number 8, so tonight we start with number 9. Have optimistic people you can call when you're feeling discouraged. You need to know who your encouragers in life are. And you need to be willing to give them a call when you need a little encouragement. The Bible says in Psalm 144, verse number 14, that there be no complaining in our streets. In verse number 15, it says, happy is the people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You know, there are some people that work very hard to be happy in life. And you ought to know who they are, and you ought to have a little list maybe set aside somewhere that when you need a little encouragement, you know who to call. Some of you make the dumbest mistake. You can get down, and who do you call? Your depressed friend.
Yeah.
Oh, you're really brilliant. I mean, everything's going wrong for you, so you call old sad face. Old depressed Daisy, you know. Daisy's always depressed, so you call her. That's not smart. Wake up! Do you enjoy being down? Well, if you want to live your life the way God wants you to live it, hey, there's some people that are encouraging people. When you start to get down, go find them. You know, I was thinking about my mom today, and of course this was Mother's Day. I think my wife would probably agree with this. I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't know if I've ever heard my mom say anything negative about anybody. I'm 44 years old. My mom has a delightful spirit. She's just an incredible woman. I remember growing up, I don't remember saying anything negative about anybody. She'd been through a lot in her life. I don't remember it. I don't remember bad-mouthing anybody. She is an encourager. Are you? Are you? I've got a friend. His name is Rick Sparks. You talk about a positive man. I tell you something. I've never heard him use the word problem. You know what he calls them? Opportunities. He said, we have an opportunity here. That's the kind of spirit that he has. Positive. And he's an encourager. Boy, I'd give you his phone number, but you'd all call him tonight to get encouraged. And then he would be discouraged after he heard all your problems. You got to find an encourager. Tell you something. I was down in Georgia preaching. There was a fella sitting in the back, and he was all crippled up, and he was in a wheelchair. And the pastor told me, he said, that fella had a near-death experience, and he promised God that he was going to serve God for the rest of his life. He got backslidden after that near-death experience, and he turned his back on God again. He was working up on a roof, and he fell off that roof and nearly died again. He said, ever since that day, now they must wheel him in here in his wheelchair, and he's all crippled up. He can't talk. Somehow it paralyzed his vocal cords and things. But I'll tell you something. When I was preaching, I mean, his arms and legs were all twisted up, and he sat there in that wheelchair all the way in the back of the auditorium. Let me tell you something. As I was preaching, that fella with his Bible, he was back there, and he was trying to wave it with his arms all curled up. He had a smile from ear to ear, and I would preach, and he'd smile real big, and you'd hear him try to grunt at me. Boy, I could have watched him all night long as I preached. And that preacher told this to me. He said, ever since he got himself right with God, he is the most encouraging man you ever meet in your life. He's always telling everybody, serve God and keep your chin up. I thought, wow, here we are. We don't roll ourselves around here in a wheelchair all crippled up. Are you an encourager? If you want to tread on scorpions, you better find out who the encouragers in life are. And you ought to go get you one. And when you need, you give them a call. Dear friend of mine, at the beginning of this week, his daddy suddenly dropped over to have a heart attack. Matter of fact, his name is Travis Bradley. He pastored and started a church down in Charleston, West Virginia. He's going to preach our youth revival in June of this year. We scheduled him many, many months ago. And his daddy just like that. Travis was just with his dad, was, I think, driving home after being with his dad, sharing some time with him. His phone rang. His mom said, Daddy just passed out dead. I got on the phone. I tried to reach Travis and called him because I wanted to be an encouragement to him. And I ended up leaving a message on his home answering service. And I called the next day and I tried to reach him and left a message on his cell phone and called again. Saturday morning, somehow, Travis, I called him again Saturday morning. I called three or four times during the week. Saturday morning, I was in my office. Of course, the switchboard around here is shut down. You can't get through. Somehow, Travis got through. Someone picked up the phone. They called me in my office and said, Travis Bradley's on the phone. And I thought, boy, I want to encourage him. I love him. This is my friend, and his daddy passed away, and I want to be an encouragement to him. I took a great big old deep breath, and I picked up the phone. I said, hi, Travis, how you doing? He said, Brother Owens, he said, let me tell you something you already know. He said, God's good. He said, I realize it's been a rough week, but my daddy's in heaven right now. He said, the grace of God is sufficient. He said, what can I do for you, Brother Owens? I said, amen, Travis. Amen. And it's no wonder I'm having him here to preach our youth revival. He's a young man that has a spiritual maturity about him and realized there is a heaven. And he was such an encouragement. I called to encourage him. We got off the boat, and I was in better shape after listening to him. And he's the one with the burden. I'll tell you what, you can call Joan Kane and get encouragement. What an encourager. You get around Mike Majan. He's an encourager. That's a positive man. He's a positive man. I thank God for it. Let me ask you a question. Do people consider you an encourager? Will you get a call? Are you the kind that would lift the spirit of another? Or would they say, do you want to call her or I'll be suicidal when I get done? I want to call him. He'll get me down. He'll get me talking about the negatives. Listen, if you want to tread on the scorpions of life, you're going to have to learn to get around the right kind of people and get you some encouragers. And if you need to make a call, if you need to get with them and let them lift your spirit, let it be so. Lady said this to me this week, and I was so honored. She said, "Preacher, things have gone so tough. It seems like I've had one trial after another trial." She said, "It's been so hard on me." She said, "I just had to get into your office because I knew you'd help me to make it through this." Boy, I hope people feel that way. I hope people can come to this church and say, "You know what? He'll get you going again." I do not think there is any sermon that I've preached here in the last 3 years that I've got more comments on than the one I preached a week ago Sunday morning called "Don't Throw in the Towel." Don't throw in the towel. I just keep getting letters and comments, people saying, "God knows, Brother Owens, I think God had you preach that sermon just for me. I needed somebody to tell me not to throw in the towel and not to give up. I want to spend my life encouraging people that you can make it and you can take it. And I don't want the devil to get the upper hand on us. I don't want him to think he can get us down and keep us down. I want old Smutty Face to know we've got a church full of encouraged people, and we need encouragers." You be an encourager. But if you want to tread on scorpions, you have to find some optimistic people that you can make a little call to, and you just know they're going to encourage you. The kind of people that can find something good to say even on a bad day. That's the kind of people that you need. Number 10, talk about your problem, but primarily when you're seeking counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." When I tell you don't go around talking about your problems all the time, I'm not asking you not to get help. I would be glad to help you. We have a pastoral staff. We're here to help you. But it does no good to constantly talk about the scorpions in your life. Listen, there are married couples in here. They've heard me say this very thing to them in recent days. They have some differences. They have some tension in their marriage. They disagree on some things. Let me get right down where it's at. They fuss and fight about some things. And I say this to them: don't talk about your differences unless you're with me in my office. Don't even talk about it. In other words, if we don't have an appointment for 2 weeks, the two of you are not to talk about your differences until you're back in this office. You say, "What for?" "So I can referee." Man, we'll put the gloves on, put them both in their corners, we'll ring the bell, and I'll come out swinging. But I say, put the gloves down when we're done with the appointment. Now go home and be happy.
Amen.
You say, you make that sound simple. It works if you do what I'm telling you. If you have a problem and there's nothing, you don't know how to fix it, just put it aside, come talk to me, let me help walk you through it, but thinking about it and talking about it and debating it all the time. Hey, you married couples that fuss and fight, let me tell you something. Answer this question for me. Does it really do any good to keep talking about it?
Good.
You talk about it and 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 talk about it. She's just stubborn at the end as she was when you started. Or he is. Probably not, though. But talking and talking and talking about that probably won't fix it. And if you can't see eye to eye on it, put it aside, come in and see me, and we'll flip a coin to see who's right. But you see, we talk about our problems too much. But if you need to talk about it, save it until a time of counsel. We'll work on it then. The rest of the time, ignore it. And that is just scheduling your life and scheduling your problem. Why? So you can walk on scorpions. When you let that thing get away from you and it eats up all your time and all your thinking and all your energy and all your emotion, it's destroying your life. Don't let your hardships do that to you. Number 11, plan time to solve problems. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And let me tell you something I do every day of my life. Every day of my life, I take out a piece of paper at the beginning of my day and I write down what problems I need to solve during the day. Every day. My daughter, she and I ride to school together in the morning, and she sometimes helps me make a list. I'll say, Charlotta, can you grab a piece of paper there? Say, yes, Daddy. And she knows she's about to play secretary. And I'll start listing some problems that I need to solve. Before I ever get to the office, I have a list of problems that I need to solve, then I schedule a time to solve them, but I do not let those problems eat at me constantly, all day long, every day, 7 days a week. I'll list the problems, I'll pick the time to solve it, I'll solve it when it's time to solve it, and I go on and live my life. I don't let the negatives of life destroy me. And I don't want you to let the negatives of life destroy you. Try it. Tomorrow, get up, think of the things that you need to work on or fix, make you a little list, decide when you're going to fix it, then fix it at that time, and get on with your life, and do something for God, have a good spirit, knowing that you have a time set aside to solve that problem. Don't ignore your problems. I'm not asking you to do that. Here's a mistake many of you make financially. You start facing some burdens financially, and what you do is you ignore them. I never tell you who, but I told a couple this the other day. You don't have the money to pay the bill, so this is what happens. The bill comes in, you take the envelope, you don't even open it. You just throw it aside. I can't pay it, you can't get blood out of a tournament. But you just throw it aside, and then you throw it aside, and you throw it aside. Before long, it mounts up, and you got a big old pile, and you're frustrated. Listen, you know what you need to do? Every one of you, what you need to take a time when you're going to work on your finances, set that time aside, and do it, and fix it. There are a bunch of you right now, you're very frustrated about your finances, and they haunt you every day, day in, day out. Well, why don't you just decide that this Thursday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to sit down, make a pot of coffee, you're going to take 2 hours, and you're going to sort through it. But why all day long worry about that thing and let it eat at you? You need to take a time to solve your problems or set a time aside. Schedule a time to work on the broken parts of your life. Here's someone that had a problem. A kind-hearted motorist saw a man struggling and changing a tire alongside the highway and pulled over to see whether he could help. The man had a very red face and a dark smear across it where he had wiped the sweat with dirty hands off of his face. His tie was undone and his shirt collar was a mess, and it was clear he had also wiped his hands on his once white shirt. Close to him stood an immaculately dressed and very neat woman who was speaking in quick, agitated tones to the man trying to change the tire. "Hello there," said the motorist. "Say, I've changed a lot of tires. Maybe I could be a help to you and your wife here." "You sure can," said the guy with the crowbar in his hand. "My wife's an expert at changing tires, too. What you could do for me is if you just stand here and argue with her about how it ought to be done, maybe I could get the tire changed." You got to analyze the problems of life, figure out a way to solve them, and get them solved and get them out of your life. Amen. That's what that man did. Let me tell you something. If you want to tread on the scorpions of life, you need to plan good thoughts to counteract the bad thoughts that come in your life. You need to plan good thoughts to counteract the bad thoughts that want to get you down. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." God is telling you, you need to plan what you think on. Plan it. When negative things come to you and negative thoughts want to haunt you and those scorpions of life want to get you down, we are to tread on top. We are to plan what we think to press those bad thoughts down. Those of you that look at the obituaries every day, could I recommend that you counteract your entertainment of death by looking at the births also? If the primary thing that you read every day is obituaries, you're going to be depressed. Every day looking to see if one of your friends is in there. Why don't you look and see all the babies being born? You have the negative thought of death, insert the positive thought of life. Plan good thoughts to counteract the negative thoughts of your life. When you look at the NASDAQ, when you look at the stock exchange and you see who's losing money, that could get you down. Before you turn the page, why don't you look to see who's making money? You say, well, I'm not. Yeah, but somebody is, and that ought to encourage you. You see, when negative thoughts come your way, you need to counteract some of them by thinking some positive thoughts. Think of heaven. Think of Jesus. Think of the good days. Hey, when you're paying your Christian school bill, you're saying, oh my goodness, Brother Owens, I've got this Christian school bill. It's eating me alive to pay that Christian school bill. Let me tell you what you do. The day that you pay the bill, why don't you think about the fact that you don't have to worry about any drugs over here at Martinsburg Christian Academy? Why don't you think about the fact that you don't have to worry about any alcohol or booze being dropped by our students over here at Martinsburg Christian Academy? Why don't you just thank God that you got teachers over here that preach very, very strongly against rock and roll music and immorality? We don't have girls getting pregnant out of wedlock. That's a real good thought to counteract or counterbalance the fact that it took a little money out of your wallet. Number 13, never miss church activities. If you want to tread on scorpions, if you want to stay up, if you want to stay encouraged, don't miss church. Psalm 145, verse number 20, it says, the Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. This is one of the greatest places to find encouragement, right here at church. You're going to be far, far stretched to find some place that will help you to encourage your own life as much as this place. The greatest place of encouragement is going to be God's house. The greatest group of encouragers is going to be in God's house. You say, but Brother Owens, I know this one lady's not encouraged. You're all right. So we got a few sour apples. That's going to happen everywhere. But the percentages of encouragers and positive people is far higher here than anywhere else. You're not going to get encouraged by going down to Joe's Bar and Grill. Hey, here you're going to have encouraging music. Here you're going to have encouraging faces, and it'd be good for some of you to tell your face to get the encouraging look on it every once in a while. Here you're going to have an encouraging book to read. Hey, you know something? You wouldn't believe some of the faces I see. I mean, you ought to just see the faces that people make. There are so many people out there in so much misery, I don't understand it sometimes. If I were not a pastor, I would make faces back. I just wish I could have one day free pass from God where I can go around sticking my tongue out and making weird faces at people. Listen, folks, tell your face that you're saved. Smile every once in a while. Wave at people. Be kind. But listen, this is the place where you're going to find encouragement. You see, if you want to tread or walk upon the scorpions of life, tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do it on purpose. You're going to have to plan it. You're going to have to decide, I will do what it takes to keep my spirit up. I'm going to find some optimistic people that will encourage me when I start to get down. I'm not going to talk about my problems unless I'm seeking help on that problem. I'm going to plan a time to solve my problems and then solve my problems at that time. I want to plan some good thoughts to counteract the bad and negative thoughts that come to me. I'm going to be in church where I know I'm going to find encouraging music, encouraging people, encouraging words. We read an encouraging book and there are encouraging faces. And then do this, and this is so practical, but really, some of you need to do something that you do enjoy. Get you a hobby. A little escape. And I'm talking about good, clean hobby. I'm not talking about going to the casinos. You get you a hobby. Do something you'll enjoy. Maybe do some yard work. Get you a flower garden. It'll relax you. Hunt. I'll tell you something. Probably nothing more relaxing to me than sitting in a tree stand. And then pulling a trigger. And then climbing down out of that tree stand and picking my knife out and gutting that deer. Boy, is that. That's good. Amen. All right. I have had some wonderful hours and hours of prayer just sitting in a tree stand, very quietly, talking with God. Some of you ladies, sow and relax. Plant a garden. build something. I know men that they enjoy building furniture and they enjoy building things with their hands. Build something. Get a hobby. Do something that's good and clean. Clean and wholesome. There's nothing wrong with that. It'll help you to relax, and it'll help you to have a little reprieve of the burdens and the hardships of life. Number 15, look forward to things on purpose. Psalm 71:14 says, "But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more." That hope is talking about there's something out there in the future. There's something for me to look forward to. If you're having a rough day, look forward to tomorrow. Yeah, you know something I look forward to every day? Laying my head down on the pillow. I do. I enjoy it. I've got a feather pillow. Now, I didn't have a feather pillow for many years in my life, but my wife, she said, "Honey, I think probably for Father's Day or something, she got me a feather pillow." I love my feather pillow. It is a wonderful pillow. You can bury your head in it, and then I wrap the sides up around my ears so I can't hear the phone when you call. Man! It's relaxing. I mean, I can put my head in that thing and it just curls around my head. I can't hear Mrs. Owen snore. And it is one heavy-duty feather pillow to accomplish that. Hey, when the scorpions of life seem to be becoming difficult, you got to get some things to look forward to and remind yourself that His mercies are new every morning. Look forward. Hey, young people, you say, "Brother Owen, it's been a rough school year. And some of you have studied and you've worked hard and you've struggled with some demerits." I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't see anything wrong with you looking forward to summer vacation coming. I know I did. I know I was in college, and for a long time, at about May, I was finally saying, "I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to make it." And just getting a little bit of time off. There's nothing wrong with looking forward to the positive things of life. Looking forward to, I look forward to our family, spending time on vacation. Now, you'll think, you know, I'm a church nut, but I look forward to church. Well, I look forward to coming to church. I look forward to coming here and singing. I look forward to being with God's people. I look forward to the nights that our family will spend together in family nights and church activity. Hey, just if you want to tread on scorpions, you have to do it on purpose. Look forward to things on purpose. Try this. Number 16, have some mini vacations. Miniature vacations. What do you mean? Take a half day off work, and you don't have to go far. Take a half day off work, do something with the family, and actually plan it. I'll tell you something. You just take the entire family, take them to Dairy Queen, let them get anything they want, take them down to the park, and just sit around for a couple hours and have some fun together. Relax everything. The tension level runs so high sometimes. You need a little vacation. You don't have to go away for a week. You can just take a little vacation and spend a little time together. Learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 2, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." You know, the lost world needs to see Christians laugh. Even in the midst of our burdens, they need to see us keep on going and get a smile on our face. And we need to reflect the God that we serve to the heathen. They need to see Him. You need to learn to smile. You need to learn to laugh at yourself a little bit. It won't hurt you to laugh at yourself. Hey, learn to laugh when others think it's funny. You know, you ever heard someone tell a joke and they really thought it was funny, but you thought it was lame, and you were just snotty enough not to laugh? Won't you be polite enough to laugh when somebody else thinks it's funny? Brother Nash laughs at everything, whether it's funny or not. Get a little Brother Nash in you. It's like Jack Daniels. It just makes you delirious in life. Hey, laughter is contagious. When was the last time you laughed until you cried? Think about it. Do you laugh? Are you a laugher? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I was reading this. A police officer pulled over a red Porsche after it had run a stop sign. "May I see your driver's license and registration, please?" the police officer said. "Well, what's the problem, officer?" snapped the motorist. You just ran a stop sign back there at that last intersection," the police officer said. "Oh, come on, pal. There wasn't a car within miles of me," countered the driver. "Nevertheless, sir, you are required to come to a complete stop, look both ways, and proceed with caution." You gotta be kidding me, barked the offender. It's no joke, said the officer. Look, I slowed down almost to a complete stop. I saw no one within 20 miles and proceeded with caution, argued the driver. That's beside the point, sir, said the officer. You were supposed to come to a complete stop, and you didn't. Now, if I may see your license, and you've got to be kidding me. Hey, look, pal, what's going on here? What's the matter? Was the donut shop closed this morning? Sir, I will overlook that last comment. Now, let me see your driver's license and your registration immediately. I will, if you can tell me the difference, sir, between slowing down and coming to a complete stop, said the lawbreaker. The police officer had had enough. Sir, I can do better than that. He opened up the car door, dragged the obnoxious motorist out, and proceeded to methodically beat him over the head with his nightstick. Now, sir, said the officer, would you like for me to slow down or come to a complete stop? Hey, you'll like this. You'll like this. What are dogs? Dogs lie around all day long, sprawled on the most comfortable piece of furniture they're allowed to sit on. They can look dumb and lovable all at the same time. They growl when they are not happy. They can hear a package of food opening a half a block away, but don't listen to you when they're in the same room with you. When you want to play, they want to play. When you want to be alone, they want to play. They are great at begging. They will love you forever if you rub their tummies. They leave their toys everywhere. They do disgusting things with their mouths and then want to lick and kiss you. Conclusion, dogs are little men in fur coats. Enjoy, ladies. What are cats? Cats do whatever they want, and you have no idea what they're thinking. They rarely listen to you. They're totally unpredictable. They whine when they're not happy. When you want to play, they want to be alone. When you want to be alone, they want to play. They expect you to cater to their every whim. They're moody. They leave hair everywhere. Cats are little women in fur coats. You know something? It wouldn't hurt us to laugh. It wouldn't hurt us to laugh. The Bible says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. If you want to tread on the scorpions of life, you're going to have to learn how to laugh. You're going to have to learn how to laugh. Let me tell you this, and I'm almost finished. This is my last point. If you want to walk on the scorpions of life, this is what you have to do. Number one, you've got to stay away from negative people. Number two, if you have to be with the negative people, you must plan how to deal with them and have positive conversation while with them. Number three, shield yourself from negative books, tapes, and articles. Number four, sing and listen to good, godly, happy music. Number five, look for people who have problems bigger than you and encourage them. Number six, don't spend too much time talking about your problems. Number seven, don't share all your struggles with your family. Number eight, be alert to serve others and serve with your life. Number nine, have optimistic people you can call when you're feeling discouraged so you can get some encouragement. Number 10, talk about your problems, but only when you're seeking counsel. Number 11, plan time to solve problems, then solve them at that time. Number 12, plan good thoughts to counteract the negative thoughts. Number 13, never miss church, the greatest place of encouragement. Number 14, get a hobby that's clean and decent for diversion. Number 15, look forward to things on purpose. Have hope and look forward to those things that are yet coming. Number 16, take little mini vacations and just spend a little leisure time. Number 17, learn to laugh. And this one is the most important one, walk with God. walk with God. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Read your Bible regularly, and you can walk on scorpions. You can tread on the poisonous things of life if you read your Bible. I'll almost guarantee you, you find yourself down, depressed, and awkward with the difficulties of life. You can almost always trace it to the fact you're not reading your Bible like you ought to. Read your Bible. Pray. Pray like you ought to. If you'll pray, you'll be spending time with the greatest encourager. If you'll read the Bible, you'll be reading the book that is the book of encouragement. This is a book that teaches us how to tread on scorpions. Keep your sins confessed. The more sins you let mount up in your life, the more apt you are to get under the circumstances. Keep the communication line open between you and God. And don't start tucking little sins away here and little sins away there. There's some of you tonight, you could get back on topside, but you may need to use this old-fashioned altar. Get down here on your face and say, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. You need to be able to get up on the altar and say, nothing between my soul and the Savior. I got it all cleared up. And you could tread on the scorpions. Keep your sins confessed. Keep your heart right. I'll tell you what. You know what? You know what we need to do? We need to kill the scorpion in your life. You say, Brother, how am I going to do it? That book right there. That's how you do it. You know that scorpion? If you could see him right now, he's not doing any damage. He's not going to do a thing to me or anybody else. He's gone. We are to tread on scorpions. Say, Brother Owens, were you afraid of that scorpion when you let it out of its cage? No, I knew I had a great big book I was about to thump it with. Planned it ever since I planned this sermon. I said, I can't wait till I get to the end. I'm going to take my Bible. I'm going to thump him. I'm going to tear him. I'm going to put him out of his misery. And he's not going to get me down. The scorpions of life are not going to control my attitude. I'm going to put him on the ground and walk right over him. And that's what that old book will do for you. That's what that book will do for you. Pretty powerful book. You can walk on scorpions. But you do it on purpose. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed.